after the gentleman talked with him just a, I don't know, maybe another minute or so, after saying he didn't want to bother God, the gentleman who was doing the ministry asked him, you know, isn't God all powerful? He tried to engage him in conversation so that the man could come to a point where he could realize that he didn't need to continue to choose not to engage God in conversation because God was helping so many people. He wanted to help him understand God is not overwhelmed by the challenges, by the tasks, by the work at hand. He's not overwhelmed by that. He can handle it. But the gentleman walked away. And that's part of the reason that I had mixed emotions. On the one hand, as I mentioned, I was truly glad that he cared about God. He had concern, really and truly, about God's welfare. I was relieved that he had that kind of concern. But at the same time, I was concerned that he would not engage God because he did not want to add to God's workload. And if he does not engage God, how does he inherit the kingdom of heaven? I mean, part of going to God is not just about the money request, the financial request that he mentioned that so many poor people make of God, the request for longevity that he said so many rich people make, but it is also the request for salvation, being set free from domination of sin so that we can be set free from eternal damnation, destruction. It is also about asking God to give us peace and joy when life seems to be falling apart. It's also about asking God to help us love him with an ever-increasing love, an ever-growing love, so that our relationship with him becomes better and better, stronger and stronger, more and more beautiful, more and more mutually fulfilling. Oh, you can best believe that God really gets a kick out of having people really, really draw ever closer and closer and closer to him. Not everyone who portrays themselves as being a Christian strives to get closer and closer and ever closer to God. But some people do. There is a reason that the Apostle John is known as the beloved disciple. Jesus loved all of his disciples. He loved Peter and James and John and all the rest. But John moved close to Jesus in ways that some of the others did not. And as a result, Jesus responded to John's response to him. Jesus reached out. John responded to that reach in a way that the others did not, on a level that the others did not, with an intensity that the others did not. And Jesus responded to the intensity of John's response. And he's known as the beloved disciple. Yeah, so I hope that at some point, I ask that you be praying for that young man who prayed the prayer of salvation. Please pray for this man too, that some kind of way God will help him realize that God is never overwhelmed by the task of working with mankind to get to us what we need, to help us experience the growth we need, etc. Help him realize God is not overwhelmed, and God wants that man to engage him in conversation and to develop a relationship, a strong and beautiful relationship with God. So again, nearly all adults who say they believe in the God of the Bible say that they think God loves all people regardless of their faults, that God has protected them, that God is a deity who knows everything that goes on in the world, has rewarded them, and has the power to direct or change everything that happens in the world. Far fewer people who believe in some other higher power or spiritual force ascribe these attributes and actions to the higher power they believe in. But even among this group, half or more say they believe another higher power in the universe loves all people. 69% say that their higher power loves all people. 53% said that their higher power knows everything. 68% of them say that God has protected them. And 53% say that God, their higher power, not the God of the Bible, but the higher power they do believe in, has rewarded them. Belief in God, as described in the Bible, is most pronounced among U.S. Christians. Overall, 8 in 10 self-identified Christians, people who identify themselves as Christians, say they believe in the God of the Bible, while 1 in 5 do not believe in the biblical description of God, but they do believe in a higher power of some kind. Now, I find that very intriguing. Of all the people who identify themselves as Christian, 1 in 5 do not believe in the biblical description of God. 1 in 5 people who say that they are Christians also say they don't believe in the biblical description of God, but they do believe in a higher power of some kind. They identify themselves as Christians. They do believe in a higher power of some kind, but not the God of the Bible. 1% of the people who identify themselves as Christians say they don't believe in any higher power at all. Compared with Christians, Jews and people with no religious affiliation are much more likely to say they don't believe in God or a higher power of any kind. Still, big majorities in both groups do believe in a deity. Jews and those who have no religious affiliation, 89% of those two groups, 89% of Jews rather, and 72% of those who say they have no religious affiliation do believe in some kind of deity, including 56% of Jews and 53% of the nuns, those who, again, who have no religious affiliation, say they don't believe in the God of the Bible, but do believe in some other higher power or spiritual force in the universe. The survey didn't include enough interviews with Muslims, Buddhists, Hindus, or respondents from other minority religious groups in the United States to permit a separate analysis of their beliefs. And that's the reason that we're not hearing what members from those religious groups would have to say about these beliefs. I'll be back.